Hey, San Bernardino, it is time for some real talk with Treasure and
Nothing.
how you doing?
Everybody.
So
So, to review, the is packed with lots of goodies. First thing that we should talk about is the pending, there are going to be some commissioners that are up for a vote, and particularly from the third ward, Councilman Juan Figueroa. One in particular that is causing a lot of people to question what's happening. So, do you want to talk about that?
yes, because Juan is my council member in the third ward, and going over the applications and reviewing the agenda, he is appointing David Rojas to the Elected Official Advisory Commission, which oversees the salaries of the council and recommend increases and even the increase of the mayor at this point. So it was troublesome because David Rojas had applied for a cannabis license. He is directly connected to financial contributions to the mayor and to Juan for his campaign. He works with the treasurer of the mayor and is apparently operating an illegal business in the third ward. And it's just it. And to me, it's once again, if you just all that aside, his application showed no qualifications whatsoever to even be on an advisory board of this level. And it just.
Well, he does have a nonprofit that he's operating out of his
Yeah,
motorhome.
for wellness and healing, because he didn't even know how to put CEO on an application. He spelled it with a capital C, lowercase EO. Like.
Yeah, it was like when we started to pull up the information, I was like, wow, this is like this really there's something about this guy. And then boom, we find out who
Yeah,
he
and
is.
it's just another slap into the face to the residents. When I questioned Juan about his reappointment of his girlfriend or the mother of his child to the Animal Shelter Commission, he'd said it was because of political pressure, that he would, go out and look. And here we are once again, bottom of the barrel. This guy, no one in the third ward was contacted. People are like, well, how do we get on commissions? Well, you have to be notified. And he just once again is failing to get out there to the public. It's about.
There is a possibility that David Rojas also works for the city, and we haven't confirmed that yet, but apparently there's a few people on social media that reported that he actually works for the city of San Bernardino, and that would be also problematic.
Largely. And I mean, and just the overall perception, once again, we've already had a tainted cannabis licensing process. So here, let me put you in charge of upping my salary in what the possible hopes that you'll become a licensed cannabis dealer. Like, it's these horrible connections to people that they just seem to not have a problem. So.
Yeah, so I don't know if you also noticed, but there's also another woman that he's recommending. Her name is Lely Lim or something to, I don't remember exactly. But anyway, trying to figure out who she was, and she is actually a newcomer to San Bernardino, only been here a couple years. Woman, probably lovely woman in her 70s, but she spent all of her life in Thousand Oaks,
Huh.
and I believe that arts and like historical preservation thing is so yeah, what would she possibly know about and San Bernardino? And the poor girl could barely, scribble out in her application. I mean, I just feel like so many young people that want to be involved in the arts, that want to be involved in, historical preservation. They've been there all their lives. They're, and I just it's just like, who is she? Like, is she your auntie? Or like, I mean, why? Are there really no other people to pick from? And if there aren't, then this is a problem that the city has in doing outreach to folks to bring them in. Right. And
you
serve.
Know, people wanted to serve. There are people who have reached out and said, I want to serve on a commission. A lot of the arts, because it's so, you know, one of the problems is one voted against an arts project, an arts grant in our city. And the people who were very excited feel like he doesn't care anyways. And that's, you know, a big issue in the historical preservation and feeling like, you know, this is, Juan has lived here his whole life. You know, he doesn't know anybody else. Like, there's nobody.
Right?
It's just more deals, yeah, more, so, you know, more piggybacking off of political favors.
I mean, it definitely makes you wonder and question, like, why is he picking these particular people? And that's why we did a little bit of research and tried to, like, find out, like, who is this guy? And, you know, I mean, you don't have to dig too deep. It's just pretty much all right there, you know, once you put him in. All right. So there's that. So we're hoping that the council does not approve that action, obviously. Yeah. So one of the other things that's already happened, let's talk about item 14 really quickly. So that action has already happened. Apparently, it's an MOU agreement between SBPD and the city while it was in bankruptcy. And now it's going into effect. It's 3.5, but there's more to it than that.
Yes.
Right? So talk about, I know you have a human resources background. So talk about how the report that we haven't received yet, but we did ask for it, is impacting item 14 and the whole.
Well, just quick background. The PD used to get raises every year based on a salary survey that was done in the charter of 186. They eliminated that during the bankruptcy, which said that the PD will have to negotiate, just like all the other bargaining units, for their own raises. And in 2015, they said between 2015 and 2020, fiscal years, we will guarantee you 3.5% based on our projections of our budget and where we think we'll be. Now, I think it's unfair because I heard that PD was going on Facebook and saying that this was already proved. There's absolutely no fiscal impact. That to me is irresponsible and a lie, because did not the mayor and his chief of staff, Bill Asaley, and the council just cut the salaries of the city attorney and the city clerk egregiously and state that we are in a further deficit than we were? So what was negotiated in good faith on a projected budget seems to not be the reality. Or is that the reality, that the budget is fine, we're not hurting, because we are not? How is this not impacting? If they brought the budget to question, we had to pay $11 million out of reserves to cover other expenditures.
And it's also not completely transparent, because attached to that raise are the new chief of police. Now that the chief of police, Bergwan, has said that he's been forced into retiring, let's just say what it is. Now that he's been forced into retiring, and of course they got rid of Andrea, who, that's by the way, another litigation that's pending that they will probably lose as well. Yep. Happened. There's a domino effect that will now happen with that dynamic. So why don't you tell us what that is?
Right. So they are, well, just in the salary you're talking about, when they fired Andrea and they hired Terry, they gave her a almost $70,000 boost. In her contract, it says that she will always make, I think, at least 5% above the highest paid director. Well, yes, they've 5%. Done a salary survey for the chief of police, and the new appointee, which I say is going to be Eric McBride, is going to receive an increase to, I believe, a 10% or 11% jump in his salary, which is going to boost her from the 3.5% increase to a 6% increase. These people are going to be making almost $300,000 a piece.
Yeah.
I
And that's base salary, because with the PD, for example, there is overtime involved.
Right.
And other perks of the of the job. So it could end up being close to $500,000.
Oh yeah, benefits, car allowance, cell phone allowance. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Medical, just all these things, right? So yes, it's gonna cost, and then it will cost the city money. I mean, not just paying the chief and not just paying the city manager now, but until they die, once they retire, that's it. We owe them a paycheck,
right?
Until they die.
We're liable for that. And the issue is you know, they used
but I also just want to point out that these are also the same people that don't have money to keep the department open and running on Fridays.
Exactly. Exactly. They're cutting, you know, how is it that there's always money for a raise, there's not enough money for services? We have the worst crime
exactly
in California, and they're telling us that they need to close on Friday because they can't even get CSOs to be able to take reports. Like, at $85 million of our budget, you can't handle this? I don't understand. It's completely mismanaged. And fines have gone up since they've reorganized. Response times have increased, not decreased, increased. And they failed to properly disclose that last time because they know it's not going to look good for themselves. They can't justify the ends doesn't, you know, it doesn't justify, the ends don't justify the means.
No, exactly. And so we continue to have a problem where we have the council making really bad fiscal decisions, just, you know, keeping us on the same trajectory rather than pulling us out and rather than, you know, doing some cost saving actions for us and for taxpayers. This is what they're doing instead. So the reason why we even do this, why we're even, you know, looking at the agenda and looking at everything they're doing and trying to express to the public what's going on, is because if somebody doesn't say anything, we're going to have the same thing that we had before. It really look like, you know, we have some serious financial issues, and you know, we need to go the other way instead of, you know, making more management, more creating more unfunded liabilities that we can't afford, then take us further out into the future. Like, this is all, like, we're spending money that's going to impact us for years, 10, 20 years. So see, nobody spoke up. Nobody said anything. Everyone was like shocked. Oh, I didn't see this coming. Really? Because some of us did, right? So what we are trying to do is just say, like, this is it. This is the train going back to the station. What are you guys going to do about it? You know, I mean, this has to stop. This is crazy. Like, this is San Bernardino. This is not, you know, Beverly Hills or some other highfalutin city where you can pay $300,000-$400,000 to your chief and to your city manager.
We don't have any new revenue. I get, you know, the mayor is trying to make this big thing out of his trip to China, out of this, you know, negotiations with Mexico and the airport. They think the airport's going to save the city, and it's not. It's not going to save us in the next fiscal year by next year.
No, and it looks like we're going to end up having a recession anyway, and China's already pissed off because of the tariffs. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of variables.
They don't. And putting us more and more into debt, it's not a sustainable dynamic. And looking about, you know, PD saying we're not being outsourced. We can't support the system. There's absolutely no way to support increases, to support $85 million of our budget being funneled into one department. And either they know the writing on the wall and they're just getting ready to pad their PERS for the next year, knowing they're going to be outsourced to county sheriff, or they're really that blind to the truth and don't know how to manage a budget. Either way, we're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. But if a person is looking at this and saying, okay, they're being strategic in a way, it's a nefarious thing that they're doing, because if they are being strategic and if there is already a plan and the nuclear option is already on their mind to like, just, we're just going to outsource them anyway. So in the meantime, let's just, like you said, let's just pad them and make sure that when they go over, they get, you know, retiring at the highest rate, at the higher rate. So, so if that's the plan and that's what you're doing, then you need to be open and transparent about that.
Well, they can't, because they know that's what's going to bankrupt the city again. That's the problem. They already know, if they already know and they already see it, they have absolutely no problem destroying the city to do what they can do and move on. Because most of them, here's the issue, and I know people say, oh, PD doesn't live here. They don't live here. So watching this town deteriorate once again, then being outsourced and leaving, isn't going to matter to them, because their property value and their jobs are secure in another entity, and their homes aren't going to be affected by our decline. That's the problem with not having an investment in the city at that level. Eric McBride's going back to Marietta, or Hemet. He's going to Hemet, and he's going to do whatever he does there on a lucrative $300,000 pension a year. Terry is going to sell her home in San Bernardino and go to Huntington Beach and hang out. John is going to leave. You know, I don't know how any of the council members would want to live here after ruining the city. So everybody has options. I remember sitting during my campaign and to some good high developers, and they were like, well, you know, if the city fails, you know, I'll leave. I said, yeah, you'll write off millions of dollars in loss on your buildings. You'll sell your $400,000 home on the North End, and the rest of the people, the 99% of residents who are living paycheck to paycheck, will be here to suffer the consequences. And nobody cares. They don't care. They don't. And that's the problem. That's why we do. And it's so frustrating. And, you know.
Well, it seems like they don't care. And then there are some that do care, but have no idea what they're doing, or they don't understand like what they're voting on.
Problem. At this point in the game, nobody on that dais has an excuse for ignorance and all this. Well, I said this, and I'm sorry, you're ineffective. If you're not speaking up, I'm not hearing any of this. I'm hearing mousy talk. I'm hearing people who are griping, but I'm not hearing anybody take their full 5 minutes to fully out and disclose what's happening. Why are we the only one saying it?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, and a perfect example is the case that was just settled this week between the city and our city attorney and city clerk. Now, obviously, we all knew, everyone knew, anyone who can read knew that this case was a no-brainer. It was a slam dunk. You know, you can't do it. And you know, BB and K even told you, don't do this. We won't defend you. And I don't know where they found this like random law firm to represent them, but apparently they were like a disgraceful, you know, kind of moronic law firm that showed up. And the judge was even like, what the fuck are you even talking about? You know, but they did win. Okay. So that was a big victory for them. They're going to have their pay reinstated. And as we knew they would. And so now they've gone and they paid for this litigation. So doing these kinds of things has not been helpful either, because again, this is more money. We know that there's litigation pending with the former city manager. Whether you like her or not is irrelevant. She has a case, she has a cause of action, and she is going to also win, you know. So they keep doing this, like, because either they're just ignorant as fuck, or they're just blatantly like, John is just like, I don't care, like, you know, grinding his feet in. I don't know what it is. Like, is your ego that freaking big? I mean, get over yourself. You lost this one, you know, just, but they did not do that. At the end of the day, everyone sitting on the dais was complicit, even if you voted no on it, because voting no is not enough. What you need to do, if you are sitting there and you're representing 50, 100, whatever amount of people, 1,000 people you're representing, you need to say, on behalf of my constituents, I completely do not agree with this action. And here's why you shouldn't either. And here's why your constituents should be concerned. And here's what you should answer to when your constituents ask. because if we do this, we are going to lose. How much are we going to lose? Let me tell you how much we're going to lose. According to my calculations, we got attorney's fees. We got this. Pull out a freaking calculator. Make a damn
That's right.
Scene.
Speak up.
Put people in their place and say, how dare you that you think that you know better than the Third Ward residents that you want them to spend their tax dollars frivolously. Challenge them. Challenge them to do the right thing. Shame them to do the right thing when it's standing right in front. You just heard the attorney say, this really pissed me off because when BB&K said, yeah, you shouldn't do it, that was like somebody should have said, aside from crazy ass Fred, who no one listens to anymore because like he's always talking shit, but somebody should have said, no, guys.
But he's right. You know what the thing is this is the problem.
He's not always right, but okay.
He has been right. He has been the only one calling this out. This, you know, there's one on Facebook, but I'll tell you what, there's only one on the dais that's been doing it. It's like, no, I'm sorry. This isn't correct. You're not listening to our attorney. You know what? This is nothing more than retaliatory measures. We know we can't do, but they don't even understand what's going on. They're not going through the agenda like we are. Because
and you have to call it what it is. And if somebody comes up to the podium and says, your mayor has told the city clerk, what the hell do I need to do to get rid of you? And then decides to cut her pay in an effort to get rid of her, assuming that she would like bow down and say, okay, I quit. I'm not working for Bupkis, you know, but she didn't do that. Right. And so at what point do these people sitting up there not say, wait a minute. If there is even a remote possibility that retaliation had a play in this, then we need to stop because this is going to be litigious.
They can't do it because they're in on it. They watch and see. They're all.
Well, the commissioner on that one was your guy.
Hey, the majority on that are on John's team. They're watching. Sitting, they're being told what to do. They were being told what to do by Bill Assaley.
And let's just, like, for sake of argument, let's just reiterate who they were. That was Juan Figueroa, that was Teddy Sanchez, and Henry Nichol, who are all up
and
the mayor's ass. All each.
Don't forget the scene. Say that they have their fourth.
She voted for it, but she wasn't on the commission. The commission brought forward the recommendation. Like, we think it's a great idea.
With that whole commission, right? These subcommittees are all BS because they come up prepared and ready to go with four of them, one ready to make the motion, the other one to second. They're having the conversations. And I'll tell you, they blew their facade last week when they brought James Penman up, quote, sight and ready with court cases. This former planning commissioner ready to quote cite and go on an emergency item nobody knew about.
It's just
bullshit, and it's happening, and it costs more and more money every single time, and they're going to do it with Andrea. That's why I thought it was ridiculous for Sandra to get up there on Facebook and in 2 hours decide that they were going to take this to court. You don't even listen to your own attorneys. Why wouldn't you sit there in closed session first and listen?
Right.
Because it's all a joke. It's all made up. None of this is.
I wanted to talk about closed session now that you reminded me, because I sat on a board of education, which is, you know, the same kind of thing where we have closed session. We do abide by all the same rules and laws and the general code about, you know, we have an education code and then there's a municipal code for the city. But bottom line, closed session is what it is. And it all basically works the same. There's only a few things you can discuss in closed session: real estate, personnel matters, litigation. So what happens in closed session is, for the people in the back that don't know, as a council person, you are given all the material that is going to be used in whatever case that you're discussing, right? So they give you all the material and they tell you, what are the chances that we will win this case? What will it cost if we settle? What will it cost if we do nothing? What will it cost if we go to court and take it to trial? So they give you every scenario. They tell you exactly what you're up against. And I wasn't there in closed session, but I have a feeling that I know exactly what was said. There's like probably a 10% chance that you could be successful in this case.
Right.
Because mostly you're going to lose, you know, and then you have risk management there and they back it up with what they know. And so it's not like these council members didn't have a clue like what was going to happen. There are plenty of people who sit in closed session to tell you, don't do this because you can't win.
That's the whole point.
And if you do it, we can't represent you.
Yep.
Because you're not going to win, number one. And number two, because we told you in the first place
that you
shouldn't do it. So that's how that works in closed session. You have every piece of information in front of you to make a qualified and responsible, fiscally responsible vote. So it's not like this is all news to them. Oh, hey, we thought we could win this. No, you did not. There's no way in hell. They told you you weren't going to win it.
That's right.
That's
so we're gonna do this, Andrea. I saw this article and read an article about the possibility of them trying to blame the water litigation or this deal that either one John touted back in the day that he was a part of this great deal, and now he's saying nobody knew about it. Everybody that was involved, that was actually involved, said it was a good deal for the city, and there is no way. After letting her go for no cause, anybody will accept cause months later. Look, you didn't have, when you guys made your decision, you said there's no reason for us to get rid of her. We're getting rid of her. Here's her payout. And now you've withheld her payout for retaliatory measures, just like you did for the city clerk, that they won their litigation. And they won based on the claim that you didn't have the right to do it. But why did you do it anyways? Because you were retaliating against them.
So the same situation and scenario here is when you're in closed session, the attorney and human resources will all sit in front of you and they will all tell you, here's what you're looking at. You're looking at this case. This is the contract that you all agreed to. This is what you are firing her for, which is no cause. You are violating her contract because you don't have cause. Violating her contract, and she will win in court.
Yep. Millions.
And they will give you, well, you're going to have to pay for an outside litigator to do it, but you're going to owe her whatever her, I think it was a 5-year contract in this case. So whatever she's owed, she'll get paid. It's commensurate with whatever the contract says. But basically, it's the same thing. They tell you. If you do this, you're probably going to lose because when you have a contract, I remember like there were several instances where we tried to fire teachers or, you know, people that were doing really bad things. And they'd be like, if you do this, you don't have, you know, good cause, all these different things with the MOU. And so if you do this, you will be responsible for having to pay out these people. And so at that point, you need to make a decision. Is this person so bad that I want to pay them off to just be done with them and let them sue us? And in some cases, the situation is that bad. I don't think that in Andrea's situation, it was like all that. I think that John just didn't like her and wanted someone to be his bitch and income Terry. Yeah. And, you know, so that's kind of... that's his MO, you know, like get rid of everyone who doesn't agree with me. I need people in my tribe that agree with me and that can let me do whatever I want to do. And that's why all these people are coming out of the woodwork to be part of like Team Valdivias.
Right. That's it. The city is now being built on loyalty to John and we are paying for it. We are going to consistently pay for it. And we can't afford it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll tell you, and then there's more. So on the agenda, there's also, so what I didn't realize is that there's this, it's 350 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, 350 acre wood. So it's a parcel of land that is going to be annexed and who and how are we going to pay for services to this new community that is being planned and developed? And the answer is, we're not going to pay for it. We're going to be bankrupt. We can't afford it. And y'all should not do it.
Yeah, there's no way. Like, we just can't. We can't even take care of the city we have.
Even if this community had Melrose and could cover a lot of its own, all that stuff, you know, eventually, ends, right? It's only for a certain amount of time, 20 years or whatever. And then Henry Nichols quoted in the paper, well, we've got all these fiscal problems. And it's funny how, Henry will admit whenever there's something that he doesn't like, oh, we got all these fiscal problems. But when you're like hiring a new chief and giving everybody raises, then it's like, well, we've got to do it.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Talking out of both sides of your mouth. So it's just funny to see him in the paper do that. But I think it's a bad idea right now. And one thing that he did have a point about and is right, the city needs the general plan updated.
That's right.
And until you do that, you really should not be allowing like all this like random development to be occurring, because you might need some of these properties to fit into your plan, right? So yeah. I think that they need to take a step back and really go all in on getting this plan developed. It's usually a 10-year plan. And that way we have some idea of where we're going to go and how we're going to go forward. Problem is, there's really no revenue to sort of, try to do any of this. And when you invite developers, a lot of them don't want to come to San Bernardino because, pretty much all of San Bernardino downtown is blighted as fuck, including mm-hmm. City Hall, including all the buildings surrounding it, the convention center, the Radisson. Like there isn't a building in that whole block that is even open and, up to standards.
Right.
So it's like, you want people, you're not willing to do anything, why are they in City Hall? Why aren't they in City Hall? They're paying millions in rents and leases to these like offshoot little offices all over the city because Mayor Davis was afraid of earthquakes or whatever. So it's going to be hard to find people to come in and invest in a city where you don't even want to invest in yourselves.
Exactly.
It's kind of hard to ask people to do that,
Yeah. There's no way a middle class, upper middle class neighborhood's going to be built and you're going to get that here. Because if there is a recession coming next year, the city heads back into bankruptcy, that 350 acres isn't going to be worth the paper it's written on. And plus, yeah, it's in a high wind, high fire.
I can't believe they want to build houses there like that. I mean, do they learn nothing from the old fire and all these fires? And probably they want to put palm trees in that development, and that's like caused huge problems last time. It's just not thought out. A lot of this stuff is just not thought out.
Right.
Anyway, there's just so much going on. There was something else that was there something else that we wanted to bring up?
That whole agenda just...
It's, yeah.
I think the biggest thing is everybody needs to stay aware and active of all situations going on throughout the city. And don't think that just because it's not happening in your ward, it doesn't matter. Because these votes are citywide. The litigation is citywide. Bankruptcy will be citywide. And you have to be vigilant in this.
Right.
And that's, we're coming up on this election. And, people are already talking about, well, my ward. Like, no, dude, my election that took place, campaign and all that stuff this year, everybody's eyes were on it. And what you're watching is that one person being selected is affecting everybody's lives.
Yeah.
So it's,
I feel bad that we have to do these podcasts to just, talk about all these negative things. But I also feel it has to be said, we have to be woke and pay attention and tell people what they're doing so that they know. Because I want to say some good stuff about the city, but what is there good to say right now? Like, honestly, I can't. What? That we're having a food fest on Saturdays? I think that's great. And I actually did see a fruit vendor in my ward the other day. And I was like, yes, bitches. But that's not enough.
Well, the truth is, and this is what I've told other people, you know, because I get the same comment. Oh, my God, everything you post seems so negative. Our truth isn't positive. We're not negative. The truth in the city is not a positive message.
Yeah, we're being bombarded
with negative actions that are negatively affecting us. And yeah, that is the thing. Why should we sit here, do a podcast, get on Facebook or anything else, and sugarcoat someone else's problem? Do you think that someone's going to come in after we file a second bankruptcy and offer us more money for our houses and say, oh, well, let's be positive. Even though your city's bankrupt and your property value is diminished, I'll be positive and give you more money. Like, give me a break. Who's going to do that?
Yeah, it's tough to be, you know, but hey, if somebody has something positive to add, or they want us to talk about something positive, come on our podcast. Let's talk about it. Because I would love to hear some positive shit. But right now, I'm hearing about teachers getting shot in parks. I'm hearing about all the money we don't have, all the money that we're spending. The agenda is always crazy as fuck. I mean, come on. Like, what is there to say that's good? I'm just hearing. And then, like, all this, like, Chinese investors coming in. I'm like, what is happening? Like, the Arrowhead Country Club is now owned by a Chinese investor as well. And we do a lot of events there and stuff. You know, he was part of the delegation that, by the way, folks, we do have the delegation stuff on tap. It's been asked for. We're just there finding some documents, but it's coming. Like all this, like, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for our city? This is not happening in other cities. You know, so it's just, we want to be in a place where we're not shocked and surprised that this happens again. Something else that we're looking into, that if anyone has heard about or knows and can verify and help us, one of the things that we found in the pendency plan was the water claimed as an asset, the $36 million that is made by the water company, the water department. So we claim that as an asset in our bankruptcy to get out of bankruptcy, right? So the question that we have is that really the city's asset, or was that fraudulently claimed? And we're trying to get some clarification on that, ordered some documents to see how that might turn out. But at the end of the day, it's possible, folks, that we might not even really have been eligible to exit the bankruptcy. We may have lied about our assets just to get out of bankruptcy. And then so that everybody who worked on the bankruptcy can go work at this attorney firm that we now hired to do all this other work for the city. So
there's that.
Including the mayor, the judge, jury, who now works at Cole Huber, the law firm that we hire as outside counsel to do several different litigation cases. So yeah, it's like a vicious circle of cronyism, right? And what's P for corruption?
Nepotism, cronyism, and favoritism.
That's right. And we're going to repeat that often, because that's exactly what we're seeing in the city, and that is exactly how it went down in Bell. Everything almost to a T that is being set up in San Bernardino was set up the same way in Bell.
Yep.
And they were able to give themselves raises because they're homies from the cannabis store.
Right.
You know what? But it does beg the question. I wonder how long David Rojas had that the nonprofit that he started out of his motorhome. That one came up in 2016. So that means that John's been involved for quite a minute.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, Robert Rigo has complained, oh, what are you implying, Leticia, on social media? Well, I'm just stating the obvious. You were his campaign manager, and you're also the agent on record for this guy from the motorhome who wants to be commissioner. You're on his paperwork to the state for your not for his nonprofit. That's not even his business license for the hemp site. Right? So I'm like, I'm connect the dots, fool. I mean, like, y'all are everywhere together. What does that mean? I don't know. You tell me what it means. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Birds of a feather.
Well, we're going to find out. You know, there's a saying in Spanish, dime con quién andas y te digo quién eres. And that just means tell me who your friends are and I'll tell me who you are. You know, you'll tell me who you are. So, tomorrow's the council meeting. There will be probably some people there speaking. And you're going to be at the council meeting?
I will.
Yeah, we got to hold Juan accountable. He's such a liar. I mean, he's such a douche.
The appointment of Matt Brown as the chief of staff, who was caught for the money laundering, the tax evasion, PAC money. You know, I mean, these people are just...
Matt Brown was at the big coffee for cops thing today at Denny's.
Yeah.
He introduced himself and was making nice with everybody.
Train was,
you know,
it's gonna be, you know, it's just wrong, and that's the problem. You look at everybody being brought into our city, and these are wrong people doing the wrong things.
Yeah.
So it's about accountability at this point, and people keep saying, you know, what do we do? Show up, speak out, and don't stop.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot to be said for people that don't stop resisting in the ear of an elected official, right? And keep on telling them how wrong they are and call them out on bullshit when they do it. And so that's what we're just trying to do. You know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. There's still talk of recalls and there's still talk of, you know, possible impending perp walks, but you know, we'd all love to see that, but it's happening. And if it's not happening fast enough, we know he's under investigation because hell, I mean, he's under investigation for quite a few things, including, you know, some things that we know there's investigations going on in terms of the mayor. But you know, there he is still and doing damage while he's there. Lots of damage. So
like a tornado,
we got to keep on him. And not
that's it. So, I agree.
Hey, wouldn't you have liked to have been a fly on the wall in the mayor's office when he found out that Gary and Gigi won their case?
Yeah.
He's like, drats. And I would have got away with it too if it wasn't for those damn kids. Oh, that's funny. All right. Well, hey. This was a good one, and we'll meet up again after the meeting and talk about what crazy shit they actually.
Yep, and if your council members don't speak out, we'll let you know, because, you know, they're the only ones with a voice.
Yeah,
on that, you know, that's the thing is they have 35,000 people behind them, and if they remain silent, those 35,000 voices remain silent.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I like, don't let yourself get walked on. If you're fortunate enough to have a seat at the table, make sure that you actually get to eat.
That's right.
Don't let them just swipe that food plate from under you and say, yeah, sorry, you can't talk right now. Dude, no, exactly. You know, you're at the table. Make sure that you're speaking up and you don't allow yourself to be dismissed and walked on.
That's right. And you know what? They need to band together. And, you know, because I don't know if, you know, where Teddy's head's at, the way he was disrespected.
Oh, I know where it's at.
Okay. You know what? He and Sandra is now going through it. She sees the right of being disrespected. Fred always, Jim, they need to band together and remove that 5-minute time limit because they need to speak out. And when the mayor shuts them down, they need to be like, no, 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 no. This is my time. And if they don't do it, then they're their own problem. You know, they're silencing themselves. So you can't hurt somebody so much. If they're not going to take initiative, I don't care how many claps, how many things you show up
to. You know, that's the thing is, I actually liked Teddy's aggressive, like, no, I want to put this shit on the agenda. I don't care if we talked about it last time. Like, yeah. I liked his gung-ho-ness. He was like, no, fuck that. I want this. But the problem was that he didn't know what he was talking about. And then the BB&K folks were like, but remember, we voted on this already and trying to be nice. And then John's all like, just like, you know what? Like, no, we're not doing that. You know, it was a total jerk to him. Was completely disrespectful. And but that kind of aggressive, I want this on the agenda. I want to talk about it. And, you know, but make sure that it's something that hasn't already been voted on. That needs to happen more often. And I actually like Teddy's aggressive, kind of like no nonsense, like, I don't give a fuck. We're doing this. This is what I want. You know, I like that. I don't like his positions on certain things. And I certainly don't like that he's up John's ass. But he could use his voice for the good if he wanted to. And he would have a strong voice. But he just chooses to not do that right now. And so, I don't know, maybe things will change with him, you know, as we move forward. But this is the kind of behavior that people like Sandra, people like even Jim Mulvihill, can you even understand him sometimes? I mean, to me, he very, very often he just doesn't make little sense at all. Like, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. Fred tries, yeah, but whatever. The scene, she's just a lost cause. But I still think that Sandra can learn from Teddy. Right on certain things. Oh, and it looks like our time is up because I can no longer hear Miss Treasure. Okay. Oh, there you are.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and as always, you know, stay tuned and stay aware.
Yeah. Okay. Peace out, San Bernardino.
All right, bye. Hey, San Bernardino, it is time for some real talk with Treasure and
Letty.
How you doing?
Hey, everybody.
So,
to review, the is packed with lots of goodies. First thing that we should talk about is the pending, there are going to be some commissioners that are up for a vote, and particularly from the third ward, Councilman Juan Figueroa. One in particular that is causing a lot of people to question what's happening. So do you want to talk about that?
Yes. Because Juan is my council member in the third ward, and going over the applications and reviewing the agenda, he is appointing David Rojas to the Elected Official Advisory Commission, which oversees the salaries of the council and kind of recommend increases and even the increase of the mayor at this point. So it was troublesome because David Rojas had applied for a cannabis license. He is directly connected to financial contributions to the mayor and to Juan for his campaign. He works with the treasurer of the mayor and is apparently operating an illegal business in the third ward. And it's just, to me, it's once again, if you just, all that aside, his application showed no qualifications whatsoever to even be on an advisory board of this level. And it just,
Well, he does have a nonprofit that he's operating out of his motorhome.
For wellness and healing, because he didn't even know how to put CEO on an application. He spelled it with a capital C, lowercase E-O. Like,
yeah, it was like when, you know, when we started to pull up the information, I was like, wow, this is like, this really, there's something about this guy. And then boom, we find out who he is.
And it, you know, it's just another slap into the face to the residents. When I questioned Juan about his reappointment of his girlfriend or the mother of his child to the Animal Shelter Commission, he said it was because of political pressure, mm-hmm. that he would, you know, go out and look. And here we are once again, bottom of the barrel, this guy. No one in the Third Ward was contacted. People are like, well, how do we get on commissions? Well, you have to be notified. And he just, once again, is failing to get out there to the public.
Yeah.
You know, it's about...
There, and there is a possibility that David Rojas also works for the city, and we haven't confirmed that yet, but apparently there's a few people on social media that reported that he actually works for the city of San Bernardino, and that would be also problematic.
Largely, and I mean, and just the overall perception, once again, we've already had a tainted cannabis licensing process, so here, let me put you in charge of upping my salary in what? The possible hopes that you'll become a licensed cannabis dealer. Like, it's these horrible connections to people that they just seem to not have a problem. So,
yeah. So I don't know if you also noticed, but there's also another woman that he's recommending. Her name is Lely Lim or something. I don't remember exactly. But anyway, trying to figure out who she was. And she is actually a newcomer to San Bernardino. Only been here a couple years, a woman, probably lovely woman in her 70s, but she spent all of her life in Thousand Oaks.
Huh.
And I believe that arts and like historical preservation thing is so yeah, what would she possibly know about in San Bernardino? And the poor girl could barely, you know, scribble out in her application. I mean, I just feel like people, so many young people that want to be involved in the arts, that want to be involved in, you know, historical preservation. They've been there all their lives. That, you know, and like, just, it's just like, who is she? Like, is she your auntie? Or like, I mean, why are there really no other people to pick from? And if there aren't, then this is a problem that the city has in doing outreach to folks to bring them in, right. And
you know,
serve.
People wanted to serve. There are people who have reached out and said, I want to serve on a commission. A lot of the arts, because it's so, you know, one of the problems is Juan voted against an arts project, an arts grant in our city, and the people who were very excited feel like he doesn't care anyways, and that's, you know, a big issue in the historical preservation and feeling like, you know, this is, Juan has lived here his whole life. You know, he doesn't know anybody else. Like, there's nobody.
Right?
It's just more deals, yeah, you know, more piggybacking off of political favors.
I mean, it definitely makes you wonder and question, like, why is he picking these particular people? And that's why we did a little bit of research and tried to, like, find out, like, who is this guy? And you know, I mean, you don't have to dig too deep. It's just pretty much all right there, you know, once you put them in. All right. So there's that. So we're hoping that the council does not approve that action, obviously. Yeah. So one of the other things that's already happened, let's talk about item 14 really quickly. So that action has already happened. Apparently, it's an MOU agreement between SBPD and the city while it was in bankruptcy. And now it's going into effect. It's 3.5, but there's more to it than that.
Yes.
Right? So talk about, I know you have a human resources background. So talk about how the report that we haven't received yet, but we did ask for it, is impacting item 14 and the whole.
Well, just quick,
5%
quick increase. Background, the PD used to get raises every year based on a salary survey that was done in the charter of 186. They eliminated that during the bankruptcy, which said that the PD will have to negotiate, just like all the other bargaining units, for their own raises. And in 2015, they said between 2015 and 2020 fiscal years, we will guarantee you 3.5% based on our projections of our budget and where we think we'll be. Now, I think it's unfair because I heard that PD was going on Facebook and saying that this was already proved. There's no, absolutely no fiscal impact. That to me is irresponsible and a lie, because did not the mayor and his chief of staff, Bill Asaley, and the council just cut the salaries of the city attorney and city clerk egregiously and state that we are in a further deficit than we were? So what was negotiated in good faith on a projected budget is seems to not be the reality. Or is that the reality, that the budget is fine, we're not hurting, because we're not, how is this not impacting? If they brought the budget to question, we had to pay $11 million out of reserves to cover other expenditures.
And it's also not completely transparent, because attached to that raise are the new chief of police. Now that the chief of police, Bergman, has said that he's been forced into retiring, let's just say what it is. Now that he's been forced into retiring, and of course they got rid of Andrea, who, that's by the way, another litigation that's pending that they will probably lose as well. Yep. Happened. There's domino effect that will now happen with that dynamic. So why don't you tell us what that is?
Right. So they are, well, just in the salary you're talking about, when they fired Andrea and they hired Terry, they gave her a almost $70,000 boost. In her contract, it says that she will always make, I think, at least 5% above the highest paid director. Well, yes, they've 5%. Done a salary survey for the chief of police, and the new appointee, which I say is going to be Eric McBride, is going to receive an increase to, I believe, a 10% or 11% jump in his salary, which is going to boost her from the 3.5% increase to a 6% increase. These people are going to be making almost $300,000 a piece.
And that's base salary, because with the PD, for example, there is overtime involved,
right?
And other perks of the job. So it could end up being close to $500,000.
Oh yeah, benefits, car allowance, cell phone allowance. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Medical, just all these things, right? So yes, it's going to cost, and then it will cost the city money. I mean, not just paying the chief and not just paying the city manager now, but until they die, once they retire, that's it. We owe them a paycheck.
Right.
Until they die.
We're liable for that. And the issue is, you know, they used,
but I also just want to point out, these are also the same people that don't have money to keep the department open and running on Fridays.
Exactly. They're cutting, how is it that there's always money for a raise, there's not enough money for services? We have the worst crime in California, and they're telling us that they need to close on Friday because they can't even get CSOs to be able to take reports. At $85 million of our budget, you can't handle this? I don't understand. It's completely mismanaged. And times have gone up since they've reorganized. Response times have increased. Not decreased, increased. And they failed to properly disclose that last time because they know it's not going to look good for themselves. They can't justify the
means. Well,
the ends doesn't, it doesn't justify, the ends don't justify the means.
No, exactly. And so we continue to have a problem where we have the council making really bad fiscal decisions, just, you know, keeping us on the same trajectory rather than pulling us out and rather than, you know, doing some cost saving actions for us and for taxpayers. This is what they're doing instead. So the reason why we even do this, why we're even, you know, looking at the agenda and looking at everything they're doing and trying to express to the public what's going on, is because if somebody doesn't say anything, we're going to have the same thing that we had before. It really look like, you know, we have some serious financial issues, and, you know, we need to go the other way instead of, you know, making more management, more creating more unfunded liabilities that we can't afford, and take us further out into the future. Like, this is all, like, we're spending money that's going to impact us for years, 10, 20 years. So nobody spoke up. Nobody said anything. Everyone was like shocked. Oh, I didn't see this coming. Really? Because some of us did, right? So what we're trying to do is just say, like, this is it. This is the train going back to the station. What are you guys going to do about it? You know, I mean, this has to stop. This is crazy. Like, this is San Bernardino. This is not, you know, Beverly Hills or some other highfalutin city where you can pay $300,000-$400,000 to your chief and to your city manager.
We don't have any new revenue. I get, you know, the mayor is trying to make this big thing out of his trip to China, out of this, you know, negotiations with Mexico and the airport. They think the airport's going to save the city, and it's not. It's not going to save us in the next fiscal year by next year.
No, and it looks like we're going to end up having a recession anyway, and China's already pissed off because of the tariffs. So, you know, I mean, there's a lot of variables.
They don't. And putting us more and more into debt, it's not a sustainable dynamic. And looking about, you know, PD saying we're not being outsourced. We can't support the system. There's absolutely no way to support increases, to support $85 million of our budget being funneled into one department. And either they know the writing on the wall and they're just getting ready to pad their PERS for the next year, knowing they're going to be outsourced to county sheriff, or they're really that blind to the truth and don't know how to manage a budget. Either way, we're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. But if a person is looking at this and saying, okay, they're being strategic in a way, it's a nefarious thing that they're doing, because if they are being strategic and if there is already a plan and the nuclear option is already on their mind to, like, just, we're just going to outsource them anyway. So in the meantime, let's just, like you said, let's just pad them and make sure that when they go over, they get, you know, retiring at the highest rate, at the higher rate. So, so if that's the plan and that's what you're doing, then you need to be open and transparent about that.
Well, they can't, because they know that's what's going to bankrupt the city again. That's the problem. They already know, if they already know and they already see it, they have absolutely no problem destroying the city to do what they can do and move on. Because most of them, here's the issue, and I know people say, oh, PD doesn't live here. They don't live here. So watching this town deteriorate once again, then being outsourced and leaving, isn't going to matter to them, because their property value and their jobs are secure in another entity, and their homes aren't going to be affected by our decline. That's the problem with not having an investment in the city at that level. Eric McBride's going back to Murrieta or Hemet. He's going to Hemet, and he's going to do whatever he does there on a lucrative $300,000 pension a year. Terry is going to sell her home in San Bernardino and go to Huntington Beach and hang out. John is going to leave. You know, I don't know how any of the council members would want to live here after ruining the city. So everybody has options. I remember sitting during my campaign and to some good high developers, and they were like, well, you know, if the city fails, you know, I'll leave. I said, yeah, you'll write off millions of dollars in loss on your buildings. You'll sell your $400,000 home on the North End, and the rest of the people, the 99% of residents who are living paycheck to paycheck, will be here to suffer the consequences. and nobody cares. They don't care. They don't. That's the problem. That's why we do, and it's so frustrating. And
Well, it seems like they don't care, and then there are some that do care but have no idea what they're doing, or they don't understand what they're voting on.
Problem. At this point in the game, nobody on that dais has an excuse for ignorance. And all this, well, I said this, and I'm sorry, you're ineffective. If you're not speaking up, I'm not hearing any of this. I'm hearing mousy talk. I'm hearing people who are griping, but I'm not hearing anybody take their full 5 minutes to fully out and disclose what's happening. Why are we the only ones saying it?
No, absolutely, absolutely. And and a perfect example is the case that was just settled this week between the city and our city attorney and city clerk. Now, obviously, we all knew, everyone knew, anyone who can read knew that this case was a no-brainer. It was a slam dunk. You can't do it. And BB&K even told you, don't do this. We won't defend you. And I don't know where they found this, random law firm to represent them, but apparently they were a disgraceful, kind of moronic law firm that showed up, and the judge was even like, what the fuck are you even talking about? But they did win. Okay. So that was a big victory for them. They're going to have their pay reinstated, and as we knew they would. And so now they've gone and they paid for this litigation. So doing these kinds of things has not been helpful either, because again, this is more money. We know that there's litigation pending with the former city manager. Whether you like her or not is irrelevant. She has a case, she has a cause of action, and she is going to also win, so they keep doing this, because either they're just ignorant as fuck, or they're just blatantly John is just I don't care, grinding his feet in. I don't know what it is. Is your ego that freaking big? I mean, get over yourself. You lost this one, but they did not do that. At the end of the day, everyone sitting on the dais was complicit, even if you voted no on it, because voting no is not enough. What you need to do, if you are sitting there and you're representing 50, 100, whatever amount of people, 1,000 people you're representing, you need to say, on behalf of my constituents, I completely do not agree with this action, and here's why you shouldn't either. And here's why your constituents should be concerned. And here's what you should answer to when your constituents ask. Because if we do this, we are going to lose. How much are we going to lose? Let me tell you how much we're going to lose. According to my calculations, we got attorney's fees. We got this. Pull out a freaking calculator. Make a damn
That's right.
Fee.
Speak up.
Put people in their place and say, how dare you, that you think that you know better than the Third Ward residents, that you want them to spend their tax dollars frivolously. Challenge them. Challenge them to do the right thing. Shame them to do the right thing when it's standing right in front. You just heard the attorney say, this really pissed me off, because when BB&K said, yeah, you shouldn't do it, That was somebody should have said, aside from crazy ass Fred, who no one listens to anymore because he's always talking shit, but somebody should have said, no, guys.
But he's right. You know what the thing is? Is this is the problem.
He's not always right, but okay.
He has been right. He has been the only one calling this out. This, there's one on Facebook, but I'll tell you what, there's only one on the dais that's been doing it. No, I'm sorry. This isn't correct. You're not listening to our attorney. You know what? This is nothing more than retaliatory measures. We know we can't do, but they don't even understand what's going on. They're not going through the agenda like we are, because.
And you have to call it what it is. And if somebody comes up to the podium and says, your mayor has told the city clerk, what the hell do I need to do to get rid of you? And then decides to cut her pay in an effort to get rid of her, assuming that she would bow down and say, okay, I quit, I'm not working for Bupkis, but she didn't do that, right? And so at what point do these people sitting up there not say, wait a minute, if there is even a remote possibility that retaliation had a play in this, then we need to stop, because this is going to be litigious.
They can't do it because they're in on it. They watch and see. They're all...
Well, the commissioner on that one was your guy.
Hey, the majority on that are on John's team. They're watching, sitting. They're being told what to do. They were being told what to do by Bill Assaley.
And let's just, like, for sake of argument, let's just reiterate who they were. That was Juan Figueroa, that was Teddy Sanchez, and Henry Nichol, who are all up and the mayor's ass. All each.
Don't forget the scene. Say that they have their fourth.
Well, she voted for it, but she wasn't in the commission. The commission brought forward the recommendation. Like, we think it's a great idea.
With that whole commission, right? these subcommittees are all BS, because they come up prepared and ready to go with four of them, one ready to make the motion, the other one to second. They're having the conversations. And I'll tell you, they blew their facade last week when they brought James Penman up, quote, sight and ready with court cases. This former planning commissioner ready to, quote, cite and go on an emergency item nobody knew about.
It's just
bullshit. And it's happening, and it costs more and more money every single time. And they're going to do it with Andrea. That's why I thought it was ridiculous for Sandra to get up there on Facebook and in 2 hours decide that they were going to take this to court. You don't even listen to your own attorneys. Why wouldn't you sit there in closed session first and listen?
Right.
Because it's all a joke. It's all made up. None of this is.
I wanted to talk about closed session now that you reminded me, because I sat on a board of education, which is, you know, the same kind of thing where we have closed session. We do abide by all the same rules and laws and the general code about, you know, we have an education code and then there's a municipal code for the city. But bottom line, closed session is what it is. And it all basically works the same. There's only a few things you can discuss in closed session: real estate, personnel matters, litigation. So what happens in closed session is, for the people in the back that don't know, as a council person, you are given all the material that is going to be used in whatever case that you're discussing, right? So they give you all the material and they tell you, what are the chances that we will win this case? What will it cost if we settle? What will it cost if we do nothing? What will it cost if we go to court and take it to trial? So they give you every scenario. They tell you exactly up against. And I wasn't there in closed session, but I have a feeling that I know exactly what was said. There's like probably a 10% chance that you could be successful in this case.
Right.
Because mostly you're going to lose, you know, and then you have risk management there and they back it up with what they know. And so it's not like these council members didn't have a clue, like what was going to happen. There are plenty of people who sit in closed session to tell you, don't do this because you can't win.
That's the whole point.
And if you do it, we can't represent you.
Yep.
Because you're not going to win, number one. And number two, because we told you in the first place
that you
shouldn't do it. So that's how that works in closed session. You have every piece of information in front of you to make a qualified and responsible, fiscally responsible vote. So it's not like this is all news to them. Oh, hey, we thought we could win this. No, you did not. There's no way in hell. They told you weren't going to win it.
That's right.
That's
so right. We're going to do the same thing, Andrea. I saw this article and read an article about the possibility of them trying to blame the water litigation or this deal that either one, John touted back in the day that he was a part of this great deal, and now he's saying nobody knew about it. Everybody that was involved, that was actually involved, said it was a good deal for the city, and there is no way, after letting her go for no cause, that anybody will accept cause months later. Look, you didn't have, when you guys made your decision, you said there's no reason for us to get rid of her. We're getting rid of her. Here's her payout. And now you've withheld her payout for retaliatory measures, just like you did for the city clerk that they won their litigation, and they won based on the claim that you didn't have the right to do it. But why did you do it anyways? Because you were retaliating against them.
So the same situation and scenario here is when you're in closed session, the attorney and human resources will all sit in front of you and they will all tell you, here's what you're looking at. You're looking at this case. This is the contract that you all agreed to. This is what you are firing her for, which is no cause. You are violating her contract because you don't have cause. Violating her contract, and she will win in court.
Yep. Millions.
And they will give you, and they will say, you know, well, you're going to have to pay for an outside litigator to do it, but you're going to owe her whatever her, I think it was a 5-year contract in this case. So whatever she's owed, she'll get paid. It's commensurate with whatever the contract says. But basically, it's the same thing. They tell you, if you do this, you're probably going to lose because you, when you have a contract, I remember like there were several instances where we tried to fire teachers or, you know, people that were doing really bad things. And they'd be like, if you do this, you don't have, you know, good cause, that you can, you know, all these different things with the MOU. And so if you do this, you will be responsible for having to pay out these people. And so at that point, you need to make a decision. Is this person so bad that I want to pay them off to just be done with them and let them sue us? And in some cases, then yeah, in some cases, the situation is that bad. I don't think that in Andrea's situation, it was like all that. I think that John just didn't like her and wanted someone to be his bitch and in contrary. Yeah. And, you know, so that's kind of... that's his MO, you know, like get rid of everyone who doesn't agree with me. I need people in my tribe that agree with me and that can let me do whatever I want to do. And that's why all these people are coming out of the woodwork to be part of like Team Valdivias.
Right. That's it. I'll, the city is now being built on loyalty to John and we are paying for it. We are going to consistently pay for it. And we can't afford it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll tell you, and then there's more. So on the agenda, there's also, so what I didn't realize is that there's this, it's 350 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, 350 acre wood. So it's a parcel of land that is going to be annexed and who and how are we going to pay for services to this new community that is being planned and developed? And the answer is, we're not going to pay for it. We're going to be bankrupt. We can't afford it. And y'all should not do it.
Yeah, there's no way. Like, we just can't. We can't even take care of the city we have.
Even if this community had Melrose and could cover a lot of its own, all that stuff, you know, eventually, you know, ends, right? It's only for a certain amount of time, 20 years or whatever. And then, you know, so, and again, like, you know, Henry Nichols quoted in the paper, well, we've got all these fiscal problems. And it's funny how, you know, Henry will admit whenever there's something that he doesn't like, oh, we got all these fiscal problems. But when you're like hiring a new chief and giving everybody raises, then it's like, well, you know, we've got to do it.
Yeah. Hey,
come on, man. Talking out of both sides of your mouth. You know, it's so it's just funny to see him in the paper do that. But I think it's a bad idea right now. And one thing that he did have a point about and is right, the city needs the general plan updated.
That's right.
And until you do that, you really should not be allowing like all this like random development to be occurring because you might need some of these properties to fit into your plan, right? So yeah. I think that they need to take a step back and really go all in on getting this plan developed. It's usually a 10-year plan. And that way we have some idea of where we're going to go and how we're going to go forward. Problem is there's really no revenue to sort of, you know, try to do any of this. And when you invite developers, a lot of them don't want to come to San Bernardino because, oh, I don't know, like pretty much all of San Bernardino downtown is blighted as fuck, including City Hall, including all the buildings surrounding it, the convention center, the Radisson. Like there isn't a building in that whole block that is even open and, you know, up to standards.
Right.
So it's like, you want people, you're not willing to do anything, you know, like, why are they in City Hall? Why aren't they in City Hall? You know, they're paying millions in rents and leases to these like offshoot little offices all over the city because Mayor Davis was afraid of earthquakes or whatever. I mean, so it's getting hard to find people to come in and invest in a city where you don't even want to invest in yourselves.
Exactly.
It's kind of hard to ask people to do that, you know?
Yeah. There's no way a middle class, upper middle class neighborhood's going to be built and you're going to get that here. Because if there is a recession coming next year, the city heads back into bankruptcy, that 350 acres isn't going to be worth the paper it's written on. And plus, it's in a high wind, high fire.
I mean, I can't believe they want to build houses there like that. I mean, do they learn nothing from the old fire and all these fires? And probably they want to put palm trees in that development, and that's like caused huge problems last time. You know, it's just not thought out. A lot of this stuff is just not thought out.
Right.
Anyway, there's just so much going on. There was something else that was there something else that we wanted to bring up?
That whole agenda just
You
know, I think the biggest thing is everybody needs to stay aware and active of all situations going on throughout the city, and don't think that just because it's not happening in your ward, it doesn't matter, because these votes are citywide. The litigation is citywide. Bankruptcy will be citywide. And you have to stay vigilant in this.
Right.
And that's, we're coming up on this election, and, you know, people are already talking about, well, my ward, like, no, dude, my election that took place, campaign and all that stuff this year, everybody's eyes were on it. And what you're watching is that one person being selected is affecting everybody's lives.
Yeah.
So it's,
you know, I mean, I would like, I feel bad that we have to like do these podcasts to just, you know, talk about all these like negative things, but I also feel like, you know, it has to be said, like we have to be woke and pay attention and, you know, tell people what they're doing so that they know. I mean, because I want to say some good stuff about the city, but what is there good to say right now? Like, honestly, I can't, that we're having a food fest on Saturdays. I think that's great. And I actually did see a fruit vendor in my ward the other day. And I was like, yes, bitches, but that's not enough.
Well, the truth is, and this is what I've told other people, you know, because I get the same comment. Oh my God, everything you post seems so negative. Our truth isn't positive. We're not negative. The truth in the city is not a positive message.
Yeah, we're being bombarded.
We're being bombarded with negative actions that are negatively affecting us. And that is the thing. Why should we sit here, do a podcast, get on Facebook or anything else, and sugarcoat someone else's problem? Do you think that someone's going to come in after we file a second bankruptcy and offer us more money for our houses and say, oh, well, let's be positive. Even though your city's bankrupt and your property value is diminished, I'll be positive and give you more money. Like, give me a break. Who's going to do that?
Yeah, it's tough to be, you know, but hey, if somebody has something positive to add, or they want us to talk about something positive, come on our podcast. Let's talk about it. Because I would love to hear some positive shit. But right now, I'm hearing about teachers getting shot in parks. I'm hearing about all the money we don't have, all the money that we're spending. The agenda is always crazy as fuck. I mean, come on. Like, what is there to say that's good? I'm just hearing. And then, like, all this, like, Chinese investors coming in. I'm like, what is happening? Like, the Arrowhead Country Club is now owned by a Chinese investor as well. And we do a lot of events there and stuff. You know, he was part of the delegation that, by the way, folks, we do have the delegation stuff on tap. It's been asked for. We're just verifying some documents, but it's coming. All this, like, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for our city? This is not happening in other cities. You know, so it's just, we want to be in a place where we're not shocked and surprised that this happens again. Something else that we're looking into, that if anyone has heard about or knows and can verify and help us, one of the things that we found in the pendency plan was the water claimed as an asset, the $36 million that is made by the water company, the water department. So we claim that as an asset in our bankruptcy to get out of bankruptcy, right? So mm-hmm. The question that we have is that really the city's asset, or was that fraudulently claimed? And we're trying to get some clarification on that, ordered some documents to see how that might turn out. But at the end of the day, it's possible, folks, that we might not even really have been eligible to exit the bankruptcy. We may have lied about our assets just to get out of bankruptcy. And then so that everybody who worked on the bankruptcy can go work at this attorney firm that we now hired to do all this other work for the city. So
there's that.
Including the mayor, the judge, judge, jury, who now works at Cole Huber, the law firm that we hire as outside counsel to do several different litigation cases. So, yeah, it's like a vicious circle of cronyism, right? And what's P for corruption?
Nepotism, cronyism, and favoritism.
That's right. And we're going to repeat that often, because that's exactly what we're seeing in the city. And that is exactly how it went down in Bell. Everything almost to a T that is being set up in San Bernardino was set up the same way in Bell.
Yep.
And they were able to give themselves raises because they're homies from the cannabis store.
Right.
But it does beg the question. I wonder how long David Rojas had that the nonprofit that he started out of his motorhome. That one came up in 2016. So that means that John's been involved for quite a minute.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, Robert Rigo has complained, what are you implying, Leticia, on social media? Well, I'm just stating the obvious. You were his campaign manager, and you're also the agent on record for this guy from the motorhome who wants to be commissioner. You're on his paperwork to the state for his nonprofit. That's not even his business license for the hemp site. Right? So I'm like, connect the dots, fool. I mean, like, y'all are everywhere together. What does that mean? I don't know. You tell me what it means. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Birds of a feather.
Well, we're going to find out. You know, there's a saying in Spanish, dime con quién andas y te digo quién eres. And that just means tell me who your friends are and I'll tell me who you are. You know, you'll tell me who you are. So tomorrow's the council meeting. There will be probably some people there speaking. And you're going to be at the council meeting?
I will.
Yeah, we got to hold Juan accountable. He's such a liar. I mean, he's such a douche.
The appointment of Matt Brown as the chief of staff, who was caught for the money laundering, the tax evasion, PAC money. You know, I mean, these people are just.
Matt Brown was at the big coffee for cops thing today at Denny's.
Yeah. He
introduced himself and was making nice with everybody.
Train was,
you know,
it's going to be, you know, it's just wrong. And that's the problem. You look at everybody being brought into our city, and these are wrong people doing the wrong things.
Yeah.
So it's about accountability at this point. And people keep saying, you know, what do we do? Show up, speak out, and don't stop.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot to be said for people that don't stop resisting in the ear of an elected official, right? And keep on telling them how wrong they are and call them out on bullshit when they do it. And so that's what we're just trying to do. You know, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. There's still talk of recalls and there's still talk of, you know, possible impending perp walks, but, you know, we'd all love to see that, but it's happening. And if it's not happening fast enough, we know he's under investigation because hell, I mean, he's under investigation for quite a few things, including, you know, some things that we know there's investigations going on in terms of the mayor. But you know, there he is still and doing damage while he's there. Lots of damage. So
it's like
gotta,
a tornado.
We got to keep on him. And not
that's
give
it. So, I agree.
Hey, wouldn't you have liked to be in a fly on the wall in the mayor's office when he found out that Gary and Gigi won their case?
Yeah.
He's like, drats, and I would have got away with it too if it wasn't for those damn kids. Oh, that's funny. All right, well, hey, this was a good one, and we'll meet up again after the meeting and talk about what crazy shit they actually.
Yep, and if your council members don't speak out, we'll let you know, because they're the only ones with a voice.
Yeah.
On that, you know, that's the thing, is they have 35,000 people behind them. And if they remain silent, those 35,000 voices remain silent.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I like, don't let yourself get walked on. If you're fortunate enough to have a seat at the table, make sure that you actually get to eat.
That's right.
Don't let them like swipe that food plate from under you and say, yeah, sorry, you can't talk right now. Dude, exactly. No, you're at the table. Make sure that you're speaking up and you don't allow yourself to be dismissed and walked on.
That's right. And you know what? They need to band together. And, you know, because I don't know if, you know, where Teddy's head's at, the way he was disrespected.
Oh, I know where it's at.
You know what? He and Sandra is now going through it. She sees the right of being disrespected. Fred, always. Jim, they need to band together and remove that 5-minute time limit, because they need to speak out. And when the mayor shuts them down, they need to be like, no, 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 no. This is my time. And if they don't do it, then they're their own problem. You know, they're silenced themselves. So,
yeah.
Somebody so much, if they're not going to take initiative, I don't care how many claps, how many things you show up.
You know, that's the thing is, I actually liked Teddy's aggressive, like, no, I want to put this shit on the agenda. I don't care if we talked about it last time. Like,
yeah.
I liked his gung-ho-ness. He was like, no, fuck that. I want this. But the problem was that you didn't know what he was talking about. And then the BB&K folks were like, but remember, we voted on this already and trying to be nice. And then John's all like, just like, you know what? Like, no, we're not doing that. You know, it was a total jerk to him. It was completely disrespectful. And but that kind of aggressive, I want this on the agenda. I want to talk about it. And, you know, but make sure that it's something that hasn't already been voted on. That needs to happen more often. And I actually like Teddy's aggressive, kind of like no nonsense, like, I don't give a fuck. We're doing this. This is what I want. You know, I like that. I don't like his positions on certain things. And I certainly don't like that he's up John's ass. But he could use his voice for the good if he wanted to. And he would have a strong voice. But he just chooses to not do that right now. And so, I don't know, maybe things will change with him, you know, as we move forward. But this is the kind of behavior that people like Sandra, people like even Jim Mulvihill, can you even understand him sometimes? I mean, to me, he like very, very often he just doesn't make little sense at all. Like, I don't even know what the hell you're talking about. Fred tries, yeah, but whatever. The scene, she's just a lost cause. But I still think that Sandra can learn from Teddy, right? On certain things. And it looks like our time is up because I can no longer hear Miss Treasure. Okay. Oh, there you are.
Awesome. All right, guys. Thanks for listening. And as always, you know, stay tuned and stay aware.
Yeah. Okay. Peace out, San Bernardino.
All right. Bye.